Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there, everybody. If this does not sound like Race to Canis, you are correct. This is Robert Clark Chan, and both Gina Ippolito and Race to Canis are out for a variety of reasons, including the world and lives and whatnot. So if you've listened for a long time, there was a period where also I was the only one left, and I brought in some wonderful people, and I'm doing it again. Ladies and gentlemen and non-binary folks, please welcome Teresa Gumprecht and Hooks.
Hello.
Hello.
How's y'all doing?
I'm doing great because I watched Poochie.
Fair enough. Hooks, you were the one who brought Poochie to us.
I did. It is a childhood favorite of mine, but I'm sure you all have had this experience where you remember something from your childhood, but you can only remember like little glimmers of it.
Yeah.
And so I was obsessed with figuring out what was this thing that I remembered. Uh-huh. And it turns out it was Poochie.
Ah. Y'all, the internet is amazing, because there used to be a time where that would happen and you'd be like, well, I guess I will never know.
Yeah.
And that was it. And yes. I just found some stuff. I found The Final Program, that was just like this bonkers ass, like 70s British movie somehow, that was based on a Michael Moorcock novel. And like, there was no way. All I remember was like, there was a monkey dude in it and boobs and like, ooh, like brains in a fish tank. And that's
boobs
all I remember.
Brains in a fish tank.
I found it. You guys, we are living in a magical age.
Well, and this especially, because if I'm not mistaken, I think that there is only just this one episode of Poochie.
Yep.
And there is no other ones.
No, that's not possible, because I've YouTubed Poochie in the past, because I like had the doll and I had the overnight kit, but I had no recollection of the animated show. Mm-hmm. But there is more than just one episode, because I've watched it.
Are you certain? Because I looked and I'm pretty researched, sure. And I did not, I mean, in the research, like, you know, doing Wikipedia, looking up various cartoon websites, and of course like searching like video sites and stuff like that, this is the only thing I've come up with.
Well, I know I've done it. I mean, this episode was not at all familiar to me, so it had to be something else, right?
All right. Well, I'm going to posit a possible option. Maybe you got COVID and completely forgot, scrambled your memories, and or hit on the head. Hear me out. Perhaps you were drugged by a sultan.
Well, and the other thing is that, and I'm sure that we'll get into it as we discuss the actual plot.
It could be hours before we get to that, just so you
fair.
Know.
It is so referential. Like, it's so similar to, and this is what hindered me in figuring out what this was in my memory for so long, because there's a character that's sort of C-3PO.
Yes.
There is a dog that sort of solves crimes, but it's not Inspector Gadget. Mm-hmm. There are all these things, and Teresa, I'm highly envious of you because I did not own any of the merch. And I wanted any of that. Oh my gosh. Like that seems incredible.
I feel like it was more, this was like more merch than anything else.
Yes. I actually think that's what I was getting to is,
yeah.
I think that in the 80s, they did this, I don't know, maybe Robert, you can speak to this better than I can, where they just kind of designed things just to sell a product. I mean, do they still do that?
I mean, no, because I think in the 80s, they were allowed to directly advertise to children suddenly. So they turned everything into a giant merchandise machine. And they, you know, there's so many tie-ins with cereals. And, you know, if you had a product that you wanted to sell, you made an animated show about it.
Well, and Poochie is very similar to Hello Kitty. And I remember there being a lot of similar type pencil box, stationery, stickers type merch.
I brought this up to Gina, and she still has a Poochie stamp in a Poochie jewelry box. Like it's definitely a thing. It was merch that they made a special just to sell the merch. And you know, that is real hit or miss. Sometimes, most of the time it's hot garbage. And then sometimes, you know, like with Transformers, the cartoon turns out to be as good or sometimes even better than the toy line that spawned it. So what is this show? Which one is this show?
I don't want to call it hot garbage.
Yeah, but it's not hot garbage. Look, this is, in my mind, in the vein of Maya the Bee. It's just cute. It's cute. But it's also, you know, the kids of this time loved, you know, robots and futuristic shit. And this magical dog has all those things.
I'm going to spoil it for you right now. I dug this.
Yes.
I don't understand why, because if I broke it down and said, like, this is what happens in the show, these are the characters, and, you know, this is what's going on, I can apply that to any of a number of other cartoons that we've watched that I've hated so much. But this one, I was like, oh, you know what? This is pretty good. I kind of dig it. I would like to watch more. There is no more.
Yes.
And it's weird because I'm watching it and I'm looking at it. I'm like, this has to have been a cartoon that previously existed that they just slapped new audio over. You know, like they would do with like Robotech, you know, and even a number of other cartoons, or Maya the Bee even, you know, like there was originally a Japanese cartoon, then they slapped some new dialogue over it. But this is just it. It's just like a one-off. And I mean, maybe they did contract a Japanese company to make this and then never another one. But like, I feel like somewhere out there, there's like hundreds of episodes of this somewhere.
Yes.
It could be.
I agree with you, and I would love to watch them.
Because it is called Poochie the Special. So maybe it never existed. I just have in my mind, because I feel like I just like looked this up only a couple years ago, but I have no concept of time anymore, and my brain just has betrayed me in so many ways.
A couple years ago? You mean like around when COVID came out?
Yeah, you know, when I had nothing else to do with my time, and my brain started traveling back in time.
The other reason why I think that this is truly a one-off is in the theme song, it describes the plot of this episode.
And oh, so, I wasn't listening.
when it talks about a boy that's he needs rescuing, and there was some reference to the actual plot, and that made me go, okay, I think that this really is just for this.
Definitely, you see all the things within the imagery of the theme song. You see the robots, you see the flying spaceship thing. It looks like time travel because there's pharaohs. So I was like, shit, they're doing everything.
I'll play a little bit of the song. It didn't seem that specific to me. I figured like this would be the plot of every episode. Like they always go out and find some schmuck who, you know,
Oh, I see what you're saying. There's always a boy in hiding.
Good thing, now I understand how you're always there with a helping hand. A boy is not so far away. I know you'll be there come what day.
Like, boys could be lost anywhere.
That's true. That's a good point. I'll give you that.
But she only helps boys, so.
There is that. The specificity of that seems kind of odd, and it might be that, yeah, like they just made this song, and like future, they would alter it. So it's like, child is so far away.
When I was doing improv on a cruise ship, it gets very boring very fast, because you get the same suggestions all the time. Anyways, my friends and I, we came up with a game where we would split up into groups and two people would sing a theme song and then the other people would have to act out that show. So it's like an improvised theme song. We would get some random suggestions of words from the audience and then come up with a theme song and then the other people would act it out. It was a lot of fun. And it would just be like very quick scenes, you know, but my God, it was a lot of fun.
Just reliving our childhoods, y'all.
That's the dream.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk about this thing.
Okay. So Poochie is the most adorable dog in the world.
It's pretty.
And the first thing that we see is we're in Egypt and there's a kid running through the market, a la Aladdin.
Yep.
And he's hiding and he pulls out this envelope that's addressed and stamped to Poochie.
Dear Poochie.
Like, airmail.
Dear Poochie. And Poochie's address is World Now, New York, New York, USA. So Poochie, I used to think, was a Japanese dog. No, American dog.
Mm-hmm.
Also, yeah.
You're racist, but we can deal with that later. Continue.
Wait, why am I racist? I thought it was a Japanese company. Is that racist to say?
You know what? Give me a minute. I'll figure out how it's racist. Don't worry about
you
it.
You were the one that compared it to Hello Kitty, so I don't know, buddy. Just kidding. So he's saying, help me, Poochie. You're my last chance. So this is where we begin. He mails this letter. In absolute distress, is being chased by some guys.
Really enjoyed that in the 80s, the fastest way to get help was to mail a letter from Egypt to New York.
To air a mail, newspaper.
So that's super fast.
Yeah.
It was, well, I'm skipping ahead, but yeah, keep going with your fabulous recap.
Well, then we cut to New York City, all the buildings, all the, you know, whatever, where we see the World Now building, which has this giant gem at the top, which is cool.
Get your latest issue of World Now and read your favorite column, Dear Poochie.
Yeah.
Like, this is how they're selling a newspaper
in
1985, which, I mean, it's been so long now that, like, maybe that's a thing they did.
Yeah, I don't know.
So into advice columns, like
Ann Landers,
Abby,
right?
Ann Landers, they were sisters and they both had their own separate column that was basically the same damn thing.
And so Poochie gets out, this town car is driving through New York and Poochie gets out of this town car.
This elaborately low town car.
Oh my God.
Town car has the design of like a space age DeLorean. I just want to throw that in.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, Poochie is set. Like, the whole idea of the toy line was like Poochie was like super rich and like lived this jet set life. So it all makes sense until it gets crazy sci-fi almost immediately.
Yeah, I was like, it does make sense, but it doesn't make sense.
Poochie,
it's internally consistent.
Poochie gets out, and as she's walking into the building and through the building and up this elevator and all this stuff, I mean, she's being treated with absolute reverence and respect because apparently everyone knows this is the boss's dog. And so she's going through this, you know, the reporter's room, whatever, where everybody's working.
Getting hugs, and then, snacks, like,
you know. Yeah, then when she gets to her room, there's a robot assistant.
Hold on.
I was going to say, I feel like we need to mention a couple things.
They say that no one's seen EG in 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
The only person who's seen it is this dog.
Yes.
Who's walking around preternaturally intelligent. And no one thinks, like, you know what? Why don't we knock on that door and maybe go in? 10 years seems like a long time for the person that signs your checks never to show their face.
And the one reporter explains this to his coworker as if he doesn't know.
Yeah.
And that's what I absolutely love, is that we're going to give all this, like, expository background for children.
Dude, it's been there 10 years and someone has to explain it to him.
I also genuinely wondered when I rewatched it for this, is EG the name of the boss because it has the same phonetic sound as Ichi?
Oh, interesting.
It is EG because later we find out the guy's name.
Oh, I wonder, it could also be EG, like, for example.
It could be that, yeah. Every once in a while we see a cartoon that actually has, like, a really smart joke just kind of buried in there. And you catch it, and you're like, what? Wait a minute.
Yeah. But allegedly there is this actual person.
Well, yeah, and because that video display of him talking and issuing his decree, that's a real person. And he says his name, but I didn't write it down.
I thought I did. Where does he get first Hermes? Let me, you know what? We'll get to it. We'll get to it in a second. And then I'll try and play the clip.
So she gets into her room and there's a robot assistant who looks a little bit like C-3PO, but a little more, I don't know, human-ish, maybe?
Well, it also translates and stuff. It is C-3PO.
There's a Poochie translator activated. And then, so Poochie starts ordering these robots around.
Oh, also, this is the first point at which I wrote in all caps in my notes, this is bananas.
Yes.
You just get in there and there's a computer devoted to Poochie. I'm like, what is happening?
But let's also go into how high tech this office is. Yeah. Like this Android C-3PO, who is named Hermes, by the way, which I adore.
Yeah.
Hermes is standing full robot glory at it's not even a podium. It's some sort of thing that would mimic like an iPad. And again, we're talking mid-80s. Typing on it that is then bringing up a giant iridescent technological video screen.
Yes.
This is so proto, like 2020s, that it boggled my mind.
Well, I will say in the mid-80s, there were lots of things like this already, so it's still borrowing from other examples of what the future might look like, or what most rich, elaborate, crazy technology, you know, place would be. I mean, even Jem was fucking insane, you know.
I think really for me is what it's what it really made me realize is 30 something years ago, when I watched this as a child, I had the belief that every adult went to an office that was populated with fun, fancy tech like we saw.
This checks out.
And I also thought that you would end up running through an Egyptian marketplace many more times than I've had the opportunity to in my life.
I thought I'd run into quicksand a whole lot more than I ever did.
Yes. Yes. Surprisingly, no quicksand in this episode, but it wouldn't be out of place.
I'm looking at this office now, and first off, it is like what you need to remember is like when we're downstairs and we're talking to a the workers, they're still like that old dude is absolutely an editor, and he is using cut and paste. Like he is literally like using an X-Acto knife to cut out headlines and paste them on paper and whatnot. Poochie goes upstairs into like this horticulture herbarium thing with like, there's like, it's like a geodesic dome. And
she's inside the gem part of the building.
Yes.
She sits down on a thing that is like a, there's like
a Star Trek captain's chair.
With a ramp that the ramp goes up and turns into a little seat back for her that she obviously doesn't use because she's an itty bitty little dog.
Right? She's also, like a Pomeranian.
At this point now, we need to remember that EG has been gone for 10 years, which means this dog is at least 10 years old and is still moving around like quite a young pup.
Oh, must be like a space dog.
It might be one of the most unrealistic things about the show. But
I can't believe you just said that because we're about to get into some other stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say that's definitely the dog has pink hair, first of all.
Look, you can go to a salon.
Okay.
All right. So Poochie gets in her little chair and she says, let's read the letters, because obviously there's an advice column that Poochie helps people with their stuff. The first of all, we get a robot assistant. That's a different robot assistant. Mm-hmm. And
zip code,
and he reads the letters by shredding them, which I'm like, that sucks, dude. Because
he doesn't shred them.
He scans them,
and then what's happening? And I don't, Teresa. I don't know if we're the same age or not, but it's mimicking a type of technology we actually would have seen in the 80s. Which is this weird arm going back and forth on the mouth. I'm drawing a blank, Robert, as to where you'd actually see that in use, like old printers.
Like a dot matrix printer, is that what you're talking about?
Something like that, yeah.
Because I'm watching this segment now, and the thing about it is that oh, I see what you're saying. Like a ticker tape kind of thing.
Ticker tape, exactly. Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
So it's not shredding it. It's spitting out ticker tape?
It's spitting out ticker tape for some reason. It does not make any sense why it would be spitting out ticker tape.
Well, the animators are idiots because it looks like he's shredding the letter he's reading.
Okay.
It does give that impression. But I only noticed it this time where I was like, oh, that's a really interesting way to describe a robot talking.
I'm looking at it now, and it's holding the piece of paper and just moving it back and forth as if it were reading it. So it's not destroying it in any way. It is spitting out the ticker tape in, I don't know, some sort of visual metaphor for word vomit. Mm-hmm. Also, there's a crank on the side of its head, like where an ear would be, which sort of looks like a typewriter, which would make sense because it's sort of moving like a typewriter, but it's not not a little carriage return. It's a crank. For some reason, at some point, you need to turn the crank on the side of its head to make it do something, and I don't know what.
Okay, so when I was 5, I had my birthday at Showbiz Pizza.
Oh, yes.
And that's a prototype to Chuck E. Cheese.
They were competitors. I don't know who came first.
They were. Well, Chuck E. Cheese is the one that hung around. So I will say it that way.
I'm sorry. You mean PJ Pasquale's?
I do. And when I was 5 and had my birthday at Showbiz Pizza, a robot delivered my birthday cake to the table.
What?
And the robot looked exactly like zip code.
The fuck?
Dude.
I have a picture. I will send it to you.
I have never heard of that before.
Is this like the type of robot that Screech had?
I'm less familiar with that.
Oh.
And I will say it's a clunkier version of what you would have seen in Short Circuit.
Was it R2 on a sail barge? Because that's what you should use to serve.
Oh. similar.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Okay.
Where? Okay. Also, what goddamn fantasy rich ass land did you live in where your Showbiz Pizza had a goddamn robot?
I'm telling you, I was ill prepared for the world that actually met me because I was fully believing that like the entire world was automated at a level that it just simply was not in 1985.
Here's a thing that I discovered doing the show with Gina for a long time is like she seems very normal. And then every once in a while, she'll have a tidbit about her life, like in her childhood. You're like, were you a princess in Dubai? What are you absolutely fucking talking about? That is not a thing that normal people have. Were you super rich or something? And here I'm finding out you too. You talk a good game, but I suspect you were secretly some sort of heiress to, I don't know, D.B. Cooper's fortune or something.
I was not, but I hung out with people who did.
Gotcha, gotcha. Okay.
But the robot thing, again, set me up for a life of hardship because I really did just have the sense that like, well, if this is five, imagine what six is going to be, baby. And like, frankly, no birthday has ever lived up to that.
Yeah, no.
I'm saying, if I hear another story like that, I'm gonna send a detective to find fair. Out who you really
totally
are.
Fair.
All right, so basically Poochie is answering the first letter and it's just some advice on, hey, this boy I like, blah, blah, blah. She
which
helps
is
so it.
Adorable.
It's really yes. cute. And then the second one is the letter from Egypt and we learn that the boy's name is Danny Evans and he's in Cairo and his dad is an archaeologist that disappeared inside a pyramid.
I also loved that she asked zip code if there were any urgent letters yeah. after we gave the relationship advice.
No, you got to yes. get in. You got to get in easy. You're not going to start out. Your day
like I just got to work. I got to start my day like a slow, you know, slowly getting involved.
Have in a it. Cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also it sort of reads because at the end it's like the thing where like you're writing as a kid and then your writing gets bigger and bolder and like
and some strange looking men are chasing me, please help me, help me.
Like he's writing it as he's running or something.
Yeah. So Poochie wants to go to Egypt immediately, but the robot assistant Hermes says, no, we got to run the paper. So Poochie makes him rewatch a video, which I'm sure she has him watch all the fucking time. Just be like, yo, I'm in charge, which is E.G. And it's a video of him like
Here
a living
is.
Will or something.
I, Edward Gregory Prince, bestow upon Poochie authority over my businesses and worldly goods. She will aid those in need just as I will. Hermes has been built to understand, obey,
I mean, it's great.
Incredible.
Also, his last name is Prince, which means Poochie's last name is Prince. Poochie Prince.
Okay.
I love it.
Okay, I'm into it. Yeah, E.G. Edward Gregory Prince.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't seem... hologram does not seem like a legally binding document, but...
I love that. All of his possessions and businesses have been bestowed upon Poochie. I want to know more. What possessions and what other businesses?
And where is he? Where yeah. has he gone for just 10 years? Is he on an island? Is he okay?
He's like, look, I want to see Mars, and it's going to take a long time to get back to Earth. So just in the meantime.
No.
It's going to take like 200 years.
That's absolutely end of season three, big blowout episode that they never got to. And I am crushed. I do need to know what happened to E.G.
Yeah. Yes.
My guess, underground empire of some kind, similar to this one, but different people. South America is my guess.
Then they fly in a Poochie jet. to go to Egypt. And while they're in the jet, the robot is flying the jet, but he also puts on this like fleshy, rubbery flesh mask. So he looks more like a normal human.
Yep.
And he puts on a British accent because, you know, that's, if you're going to go to Egypt, that's what you want.
Yes.
A British accent instead of anything else, maybe? Maybe yeah, something a little more in the language?
There's a history of colonialism that maybe he should have thought about some.
I think they did. And I think, but again, maybe I'm giving away too much for the end. But at any rate.
Maybe they, you know, didn't know what to do because obviously English wouldn't be the language in Egypt, and they were like, well, we don't want to throw our hand in at a Egyptian accent, do we?
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Poochie! Poochie for girls!
Here's Poochie Friendship Diary, Money and Memo Set, Comb and Mirror Set, and Fashion Bath Set, each sold separately.
Poochie notes?
Yeah.
Poochie purse?
Yeah.
It's Poochie this and Poochie that, Poochie here and there. Poochie everywhere. Poochie. Poochie for girls.
Poochie Friendship Diary, Money and Memos, Comb and Mirror, and Fashion Bath Sets, each sold separately. Poochie by Mattel.
Now back to G.I. Joe.
I'm gonna suggest a different route, which is, it never crossed their mind to have this person be Egyptian, ever.
That's and
what yes, my plan.
And I think that Hermes has a British accent, I think, because he's a butler.
Yeah.
Not because, of any sort of like contextual reason. I do appreciate the levels of having an android wear a human mask and then have to pretend to be human, who's then talking to a dog.
Yo.
There's so much happening here, and it's why it made it very, very hard for me to find this.
This is the next point where, in all caps in my notes, is this is amazing. Because, it just blows out the world so fast. You're like, what is even going on? I thought this was a dog that is on stationary, and all of a sudden, we got Blade Runner androids running around in human skin.
Mm-hmm. International crime solving.
Yeah, talking to a dog who runs a media empire.
Right.
Goddamn Rupert Murdoch.
Right.
I'm sorry, Rupert Murdog. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Murdog. That's all I got. Let's move on.
So they're in Egypt and they are in this jet car shooting across the desert towards the pyramids, which is right again, just fucking awesome.
A fucking car that goes VTOL, mask. This is some shit that you would see in like a Transformers or, you know, some other action series. Just like, oh yeah, by the way, my car turns into a fucking jet. Boom.
So Poochie's going to talk to the animals, they decide, and the robot will talk to people, but the robot's like, hey, I can talk to animals too. whatever. So they're in the market, and the robot fucks up.
Oh, sorry. When he starts talking to this dog, there is another note. I think at this point, I was just like completely overwhelmed, and I typed all caps, it keeps getting better. I was just on a high from that point on. I was like, there's nothing else you can put into this thing. My God, what is happening?
So the robot fucks up and a dog starts chasing him. And then he's just fucking up all the vendor stuff all throughout the market, which, I mean, how does he not have a bunch of people chasing him? He doesn't. It's just the dog. But anyways.
It's lovely and it's such a classic slapstick.
So then they meet this other dog, a helpful dog, and Poochie is talking to them. And the dog is warning Poochie about the curse of the pharaoh. Dun, dun, dun. So they go to the pyramid and Poochie goes in.
About A, his name is Ali. B, why is her contact a dog? Does she have a network of super right? smart spy dogs around the world?
Maybe dogs are like that. We don't know that about dogs. Maybe dogs see other dogs and they're like, we're instantly friends and on the same side and we'll help each other. Oh, you're an international traveling dog? Well, then let me show you around.
No, she says that it's a contact. Like, he was informed ahead of time she was coming, oh. and he was prepped for it.
Yeah, whispers on the wind, my friend. Whispers on the wind.
I'm just saying, like, just all caps notes from here on out. Like, yes, of course there's a fucking spy dog. And of course there must be hundreds more scattered around the world.
The fear is that all dogs are spies because, you know, they watch us do everything all the time.
Oh, boy.
The fear is that they tell every other dog what's going on and that one day those dogs will blab what you've been up to.
This is why
you
I don't
say
have
fear, but yeah. I say this is my hope and promise because I want a network of dogs working to make sure that there are no lost children mm-hmm. and everybody is safe. I love that. I want that. I'm not a crime boss, though, and I feel like Teresa maybe is.
No, I just, expose all my embarrassing moments to the pets in my house.
I don't need
them telling my neighbors anything about me.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything malicious, but I've done some heinous shit in front of animals that I don't want them to pass along.
Just a human doing human shit, and it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Fair. That's fair.
Yeah. They go to the pyramid and they go inside the pyramid. Hermes is really reluctant, but again, fuck him because Poochie's going to do it. They stumble into a really cool chamber.
Oh, no, don't skip over the fact that he has his moment where he chooses not to answer the call and then he decides that yes, he must proceed and we can continue on with this hero's journey. I believe that Hermes is secretly the protagonist of this Campbellian hero's journey.
Interesting.
Well, okay, so there's that. But they stumble into this cool chamber and it's got all this like mummy and cool stuff in there. And they kept calling the sarcophagus the mummy case. It looks like there's something in the mummy case. Ooh, let's open up the mummy case. And Danny is in the mummy case. And I just love that they kept calling it that because it sounds scarier. It's something that sticks in a kid's mind. You know,
as a child, I would have known the word sarcophagus. Not every
like
child
I might have,
did.
But I don't know.
I feel like all of us here.
I would have learned it if they'd called it sarcophagus and that was my first experience. I would have learned the word through context that way.
I don't know. You wouldn't have known how to spell it.
But then Danny's like, are you guys from whatever the freaking newspaper was? World Now? Are you Poochie? And it's like, how do you not know? How do you not know this is Poochie? Her face is printed in the article. Like, you know, in pink, which is at the time very expensive for a newspaper to do. Right? So, like, if she's the only thing in color in the entire fucking newspaper, you recognize this little dog.
It is also, like, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope. You literally sent an airmail to this dog saying, hey, please help me.
I mean, how many other pink dogs with sunglasses are there in this world?
Here's the thing. If you had sent off a letter airmail to a advice column writing pink dog, do you expect the dog to show up?
Yeah, right? That's a whole other thing, too.
I'm just saying that he is very surprised not because he doesn't recognize them, because he did not believe they would show up as well.
Maybe he thought he was hallucinating.
I would have been. He's stuck in a goddamn sarcophagus in a pyramid being chased by huge thugs. Mm-hmm. And he has been in there long enough that letter got all the way to New York and
he's
came
flying. Starving.
He's been there for a time.
So then like a lot of, you know, spooky, you know, Scooby-Doos and whatever, there's a trick wall that spins. So they spin on this trick wall, and then they're in this little tiny room that's like a secret room. And then they push another button that they think might be another trick wall, but it ends up opening up the floor, and they fall for eternity into a river, which I'm like, okay, a river under a fucking desert, like sand and shit. There's no fucking way. I mean, you know, that's where I started thinking about the logic of stuff. Nothing else prior to this. It was that moment right there. I was like, so sand can just exist above this cavernous river area? I don't think so.
I like
there's no rocky crags or anything.
Okay, ready, everybody? We're going to spin around like the other wall.
I love that setup. It's real simple and just like real and the payoff is telegraphed if you're 40 something years old and not like a 5-year-old kid. But, you know, he's like, we're going to do it just like last time. And then the trap door opens. That's just a great joke. It's a well-written visual joke. And I appreciated that.
It adds a little element of surprise.
Yes.
So they're in this river and they're floating in this river and they, you know, end up getting into land area. But what they see is an underground city of pyramids. And some of these pyramids look like Mayan pyramids simply due to like the shape and the stairs and everything, like looks sort of like Chichen Itza.
They did have step pyramids in Egypt. So this may just be dating it further back than, for example, the pyramids of Giza. We don't know. We haven't talked to an archaeologist.
It looks exactly like Chichen Itza.
You know what? These artists have a deadline. And if they're going to pull
because
a pyramid,
one thing the Egyptians did not do is typically use their pyramids as like a place for sacrifice and a place to speak from like the Mayans did. They were used as monuments.
Well, so, they also weren't underground.
They also weren't underground. So this is like where the origin of all humans live. And then they just dispersed into different nations from there, which is how you have the Aztecs with pyramids and the Mayans with pyramids.
Yeah, no, this is Atlantis. I think we can safely say.
I like the idea that Atlantis is actually underneath the Fertile Crescent.
Right. Hmm. Like it.
Right. I might be forming a religion based around Poochie after this, but we'll just keep going.
I've formed a religion around merchandise many times in my life. And Poochie would definitely be on the list of where I would convert next. There's also a gem on top of the pyramid, and it's like a real gem. And it made me think of the gem on top of the World Now building, even though that was a little more like high-tech looking. So
what you're saying is that Poochie is a member of the Illuminati.
Just some sort of similarity that I'm like, either they don't know how else to draw a tall building
or
they're trying to like give these priests and priestesses real power that comes from some mystical gem that's just like floating above this pyramid. It's not connected to anything.
They've been living underground in a civilization that seems fully like sunlit for 5,000 years. Yeah, they've got some power.
Probably longer than they've that. 10,000. So the priests and priestesses, they lock up the boy, the robot, and Poochie into this jail, and then they find Danny's dad in there.
They don't lock up Poochie.
Oh, well, that's right. They don't lock up Poochie. Sorry, Poochie hides.
You can't lock down Poochie. Come on.
Poochie was thinking way too fast. Mm-hmm. Right. He was like, you lazy and big fat humans can't slip into the cracks and crevices that I can. So I'm just going to leave and I'll figure it out later. And we find out that these people are called the Nickites.
Because of King Nick Naughton.
Nick Naughton.
Oh, I love that. And that the Nickites never let people leave that land alive. So basically, they don't let them leave. He could have also said they don't let them live. It all could have been said a little differently and a little more clearly. But
in a show about a talking pink dog, I think we're probably going to gloss over the actual death part.
Okay, you haven't glossed over a single fucking thing so far, so I think it's okay for me to point that out. All right. All right, so we've got the Nickites. We now know the stakes. They're going to die. But the priestess doesn't want to sacrifice their lives. And they ask Osiris. She sees Poochie hiding in the eye of Osiris, which is like this big statue that they have. And she's like, oh, the pink and white dog is a sign from Osiris. And I can't remember, but I feel like she said something that was like, like the prophecy has been foretold, kind of.
Yes, something like that.
Yeah. A little dog, the sign of Osiris. Poti, come quickly. The goddess has given me a miraculous sign. Here, look. A pink and white little dog.
So the sign of Osiris is a pink and white dog.
My dog barks, sorry.
The dog's like, yes, I know of the sign of Osiris. I am a faithful worshiper.
Was Osiris a dog-headed god? I feel like he was.
I don't remember.
Horus was the hawk one.
But also, wait, I think you're right. The one that has the dog face.
Yeah.
Look this up.
What's interesting is that they said Osiris. I don't think he was, though, but they said Osiris and then they said she. And I was like, did they mean he? Because I thought Osiris was the man and Isis was the woman.
Lunch truck. What? They absolutely said that Osiris is a she. Osiris absolutely in Egyptian lore is a he.
Yeah.
But lunch truck.
What's lunch truck?
We don't have time to research these things these deeply. Girl. Priestess, girl god, let's move on.
You mean in the writer's room?
Okay. Yes. They're there because it's burrito day and they got to get out to the truck.
Yeah. I think Anubis is the dog-faced.
Oh, you may be right.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I think Osiris and Isis were like human man and wife, similar to like a pharaoh and a pharaoh's wife or whatever. But I don't know. Okay. So, yeah. Sign of Osiris. I love that so much. They're sent. I'm sorry. So then they have a trial, which isn't really a trial. They're just dragged out of their jail. And the other priests are pressuring this priestess to put these people to death. And she doesn't want to do it. But they're basically not giving her a choice.
She especially doesn't want to do it because of the child.
Yes.
She's like, we shouldn't kill this kid.
Yeah, very appropriate. But they're sentenced to be mummies. They say mummies. And I think that's hilarious.
Same. And I also loved that being a mummy literally just meant we're wrapping you up in bandages.
Oh my God, they were wrapped up alive and their eyes were left unbandaged so they could see everything that was happening.
Yep.
And they were just put in this cart, like three little sausages.
Mm-hmm.
And so they
very traditional.
They pull this cart up this pyramid and they're going to dump it into the Nickites.
They're going to seal them into the intruder's chamber.
Yeah. There's a
chamber full of intruders that get wrapped up in toilet paper and just chucked in there.
Yes.
So then Poochie helps unravel Hermes. And then the mummy cart starts to roll down the ramp and is knocking down.
Poochie kind of constructs this plan. Mm-hmm. Poochie actually like takes and takes the bandage off of Hermes's ankle and wraps it around the cart and then tells Hermes, you need to roll down this hill.
Yeah, so rolling.
She says, shut the fuck up. Don't ask questions.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a little harsh for a children's thing, but it was the 80s.
She was like, bitch, how many times do I have to tell you I'm in charge over here? Quit giving me the sass back. I'm going to change your programming. So he rolls down the hill and his bandages come undone. The mummy cart rolls down the hill and knocks down some dudes like bowling pins.
Yes.
Bowling ball noise. Yep.
And then Hermes tries to help Poochie stop the cart, but it can't be stopped. And the dad and the boy are wrapped little sausages just being jostled around in this cart. And the fact that they showed that for a minute, I was laughing so hard because it looks so funny.
My favorite was how Poochie's in the cart and she's like, oh no, I don't have any control over this cart. And then Hermes jumps into the cart to go, oh no, I don't have any control over this cart.
It's so typical. A man thinks that just because you said it, you're stupid. You don't know. So let me do it. Oh, wait. No, I guess you're right the whole time.
Well, yeah. I said Hermes. She said, Hermes, help me. I can't control the cart. And so he jumps in to try to help before finding out that he too, obviously. Yeah, I don't know what he thought he was going to do. He should have
sacrificed himself by going in front of the cart, and that would stop it.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
Poochie asks the real. Okay, so then they land in front of the priestess. The cart kind of comes to a smashing conclusion, and the dad and the boy are jostled, and they land near the high priestess, unbandaged. And then Poochie asks the robot, Hermes, to do lasers and sound effects off the little gem that's floating above them. And he's like, do what? And again, just shut the fuck up and do it, you know?
Right.
So basically, what the priestess had mentioned earlier is that there is something called a forgotten flower, which makes people forget, I guess, things that happened within a certain amount of time.
Again, amnesia was a staple plot in the 80s. Yes. So this made a lot of sense to me.
Absolutely.
It's weird that it's called the forgotten flower when it should be a forgetting flower, I think.
Yes, yeah. I thought that as well.
Except that, like, I guess if you forget, then you'll have forgotten the flower, so the flower is technically forgotten.
I mean, there is a forget-me-not flower, so there should be a forget-me flower, right? Forget me and a forget me not.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's how plants exist. There is one and then there's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
There's a weeping willow and a happy willow. That's a thing.
A dark to every dark to every light, a day to every night. So the boy and the So then she's like convinced by, and everyone's sort of convinced by these laser sounds. And
well, I think that she is standing behind the stone, right?
Poochie starts to stand in front of it, so then everybody can see her. But the lasers are bouncing off of the gem, so it's light flashing and like some random. I don't remember the sounds exactly. There were laser sounds, but I think there's some other sounds too.
These Egyptians have never seen a rave, so they don't know what the fuck is going on.
Classic laser sounds.
Yeah. They've never seen Star Wars. They don't know what's up.
Yeah. And Poochie says, I'm a messenger from Osiris or something like this, and I command you to use the forgotten flower or something like this. And the priestess is like, oh, the forgotten flower. Yeah, cool. Because I wanted to do that anyway. And so they all think they're being good worshipers by using the forgotten flower instead, even though they don't know if it works because it's been a million years since they've used it.
Well, and it seems like I thought that the idea was that it was too dangerous to use. But then I just got confused because I interpreted that to mean maybe it would kill them. And I was like, well, weren't you going to kill them anyway?
No, it's too dangerous because if it doesn't work, then they're out there with the knowledge. And
I see. Oh, that makes way more sense.
So right before they do the forgotten flower thing, they get these boats ready. They're going to take everybody back to the real Cairo, Egypt. And Poochie is hiding, she's hiding in the boat under something so they don't see her, so they don't think that they've been tricked. And right before the boy sniffs the flower, the boy and the priestess have this stupid moment where he's like, wait, I'll forget about you. I don't want to forget about you.
Wow. I was like, why do you care? Stupid moment.
I was like, why do you care? You never spoke. You never hung out. She almost killed you. You know, like, why are you suddenly so nostalgic for her?
Two pubescent kids having their first, like, that's the first time.
She's not pubescent.
She's young. She is young.
She looked like 21 and he's 10.
I mean, seen episode one. You know how this works. Queen Amidala is going to get some from this little 9-year-old boy.
It's one of the most disgusting movies ever.
So you're saying that Poochie predates episode one and basically like calls what George Lucas got a lot of episode one from watching Poochie.
I mean,
is what you're saying.
He's saying long ago in a galaxy far, far away, but longer
now
still.
Now that you mention
longer still was Poochie.
The jet over the sand is very pod racery.
Yeah, yep. It does look mm-hmm. like something that Luke even went across the desert in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, maybe I'm getting it backwards.
So then he smells the flower and he passes out. And then the dad was all happy to smell the flower because he's like, you deserve to keep this place secret.
That dude just wants to get high.
Archaeologist.
Which I thought was like the most hypocritical line of all, because he is essentially a tomb raider.
Mm-hmm.
True. But yep. I guess, you know, a lot, as with a lot of Egyptologists, they try to be really respectful. Did you guys watch, by the way, did you guys watch when they moved all the mummies from the old museum into the new museum this past year?
Wait, what?
Dude. Wait, you can watch that?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Not only can you watch it, it's the most epic thing I've ever seen in my life. Egypt went all the fuck out. They each have their own golden carriage thing. And it's this music thing. They all are this caravan. And they have people that are lining the streets dressed in this ancient Egyptian attire. They have a guy in a chariot leading the front. It is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. And it is amazing music. And you can watch it on
Egypt
YouTube.
Egypt is 100% trying to avoid a curse of the mummy.
I mean,
that's fair, and I support that.
They're all in order of their reign. So it's just the fucking coolest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, I'm definitely going to check this out.
I want to go so bad. And where the new museum has chambers for them that resemble if you were to go into the actual pyramids or where their tombs were in Valley of the Kings, what that would have looked like and how that would be. So you can kind of experience it without having to desecrate these ancient ancient tombs, you know.
So it's kind of like the cave art at Lascaux. They like, you can't go into the original caves anymore, but they built an entire another cave and completely replicated everything so that you can go and look at that, like right next to it.
That's really cool.
It's nuts.
But yeah, I really recommend you guys looking that up. It's called like the Golden Caravan or something. You can YouTube it. It's a long thing, but I recommend it. You can kind of skip ahead to different parts if you want, but it's one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life, and I'm glad they did it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that I said all that, so the dad passes out, and then the robot is freaking out because he's like, oh no, Poochie, I can't react to things the way humans can. How am I going to – what am I going to do when I sniff the flower? And she's like, basically like, fucking fake it, asshole. He's like, oh, right.
Just pass out.
So he does fake it, and it's this big dramatic thing because, you know, he's not an actor.
No, he is an actor. That's the part. It's like – I loved this so much, and I, as an adult, it did dawn on me that, like, oh, as someone who is probably on the spectrum and has realized later in life that I'm trans and all of this other stuff, it was like, oh yeah, it's clear that the character you relate most to is an android wearing human skin being told to just fake it until you get it. They loved it.
100%. I loved it because he was doing a Paul Rubens and Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes.
I gotta die.
I bet Paul Rubens adds excellence to absolutely everything he's ever done. I love
100%.
Him.
I like a big death, so I was in for it.
Mm-hmm. So they end up arriving on land somewhere. Their little boat apparently goes from below the earth by many miles to the Nile, I guess.
Very normal. Yep.
And there's a pendant around Danny's neck. And the necklace apparently says, someone, somehow, somewhere will remember you forever, signed Coombe. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, you were afraid someone was going to remember you. That your civilization existed. And you're giving someone's brain and the synapses something to try to reconnect those dots somehow in the memory.
Yeah.
That's not smart.
Maybe that's why the flower doesn't work. It's because you keep giving people necklaces.
She keeps sending them off with like these, I love you notes. Like,
counterpoint, priestess wants to get laid.
I know that is just and disgusting.
Oh, that's a good point. Mm. She's surrounded by a lot of less worthy candidates.
Mm-hmm. So she keeps sending them up. People keep finding her, and she's like, "You know what? Here's a necklace. Anytime you want to come back."
Poochie like is present at this moment, and they don't seem alarmed by Poochie at all. And it's like, well, wouldn't the dad be like, "Hey, who the fuck are you? Where'd you come
Why
from?
Why is this dog talking?" Yeah.
No, the dog isn't talking. And I do appreciate that there are a couple points during the show where they show what Poochie's actually doing, which is like rough, rough, rough. And it's the robot who's translating. Yeah. So to humans, it's just a dog barking.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So then we're back in New York City. Poochie goes to master control at the newspaper, and they rocket ship to somewhere else. There's some other urgent place, and they're just like, can't stop Poochie. Mm-hmm. Gotta go. So there's some other urgent thing that happens like right away, and she has to go. But we don't know where that is or what's going on.
I mean, technically, what she says is like, maybe there's another urgent one. Zip code says, no, there are no urgent ones. And then it's just like, well, we're going anyway. Let's grow. And then they cut in like they reuse.
Maybe the there's an off.
Like, well, maybe it's not urgent, but let's go.
We've got to get this girl a note so she can put it on the locker.
Or she needs an overnight kit filled with a stamp, some stationery, a comb and a mirror, tiny little washcloth, and some soap.
Yes.
That was the coolest little overnight thing. And, you know, I just don't remember anything else. But Poochie was so fucking cute. So cute. You see that somewhere, even on TV as a, you know, an ad for the overnight kid or whatever else there was at the time. And it's just like, God, you just got to get your hands on that.
Yeah. And the song was very catchy.
Yeah. I think so, too.
I just eBayed vintage Poochie.
eBay.
I must have my VPN on because it's giving me some weird ass currencies.
Ooh.
But $50 for that overnighter pink plastic box.
$50.
Yeah.
Good thing I still have mine. I still have the doll too, which is pretty big. Yeah, it's like big considering everything else is so tiny.
Mm-hmm.
But it's real cute.
And that's our episode. Thank you very much, Hooks. Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you.
Ray and Gina will be back at some point. I don't know. Find us online places. Where do we go? Patreon. Visit us on Patreon. Knowing Us Half the Podcast, on Twitter at GI Joe Podcast. Individually, I'm at 999 RPMs.
I am at Babyface Hooks.
I am at AE Double Back podcast.
No, just AE Double Back.
No, it's just AE Double Back, but it's a podcast. Sorry.
It is a podcast. Listen to that podcast. It's a good podcast.
If you like wrestling.
If you are into wrestling. Hooks, do you got anything else going on? I don't know how to do this, okay? So I'm just winging it. Like,
No, you're doing a fantastic job. I am, if you find me on the interwebs at Babyface Hooks, you will stay up to date with anything that I do have going on. I am making a triumphant return to the stage this year.
Yeah.
So if you want to, pardon me, stay up to date with all of that, I will be doing some clowning and some drag performances here in the next couple weeks and the months.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Hells yeah.
This is freaking awesome. Awesome.
I want to make a triumphant return to the stage this year.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
We all should.
It's so weird now. Having
you
been
can
involved.
Just say it. It's early in the year.
Fair enough. So, we'll make a triumphant return to stage.
There's a Poochie thermos that's $100.
Oh, it's only $50 on Mercari. I was looking as well when Robert started mentioning things. I was like, okay, well, let's see what we got.
Now I'm like, I want it all. This is the kind of bullshit you do when you're an adult and you have money, and then you're like, I need everything for my childhood for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally boop, normal. Boop. Totally natural. So. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for hosting this. This was super fun.
Poochie, is it really you? Sitting at the top, knowing what to do. Poochie, now I understand how you're always there with a helping hand. A boy is lost so far away. I know you'll be there come what may. Poochie, is it really you?
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.